Welcome to China Chit Chat, the show that brings you new and unique perspectives on China. China Chit Chat is a new weekly podcast where we interview guests who each have their own interesting takes on various aspects of Chinese culture, business, politics, and history. Put together, we hope to provide our audience with a fresh perspective on the real China. China Chit Chat is brought to you by ADN Import Foods and Opportunity China. ADN Import Foods provides an end-to-end solution for food and drink companies from around the world to help them enter and grow in the massive but challenging China market. Opportunity China is for university graduates looking to kickstart a global career. Graduates from any academic background or university can apply, and all participants are trained and prepared to start teaching in China within a couple of months of finishing university. Our guest on today's episode is André Spolaor, a Brazilian education entrepreneur and influencer. André is one of the top foreign influencers in China and has built up a following of over 1 million fans over Chinese platforms such as Douyin and Red, delivering daily content to help people learn English. His daily live stream lessons are typically attended by over 1,000 eager students. I talked to André about how he built this following, the challenges of setting up as a foreign influencer on Chinese social media, how he's looking to grow his business, and much more. If you've ever wondered how to get China internet famous, then this is the show for you. André, thank you for joining China Chit Chat.
It's a pleasure, Johnny.
Good to have you here. And let's just kick things off, get straight into it. So what exactly do you do?
So I am on what in China is called a KOL, or an influencer. I produce content for social media in China, mostly focused on teaching English and going through language learning. So recently I've started also producing courses. So most of my time right now goes into developing a new method for efficient language learning and, you know, teaching and bringing more students to achieve fluency in English. That's pretty much what I'm doing right now.
Right. So is it a little bit like, you know, at your core, you're an English teacher, but you're bringing, using new technologies and new mediums to bring that to your students?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so you're from Brazil, right? And I think you're back in Brazil at the moment. But how did you get into this line of work?
I have a story with China. I moved there for an exchange 6-7 years ago. And I ended up living in China for 4 years. So during that time, I had a lot of experience, like learning Chinese and interacting with Chinese culture, seeing how the market worked. And that's really how I developed this career as an English teacher. Originally, I studied chemical engineering, and I decided to do a complete change because my passion is really for learning, methods of learning, and for entrepreneurship. So what I'm doing right now really kind of joins these two things that I love doing, which is exploring markets and doing business, and at the same time exploring the side of learning, efficient learning, in this case applied to English and to language, and specifically for social media. So I worked in China, I came back to Brazil, and I was planning to take a gap year to travel, explore, and after that start my own business. But then COVID started and I was locked home and had to get creative. I saw this opportunity, started producing videos every day from home. I didn't have much to do, so I was doing like 2 videos every day for 2 months. Things started going well, and here we are.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, doing that in China would create its own challenges, let alone the time difference between Brazil and China, but the firewall specifically. So as most people know, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Google, and many more all blocked in China. So, you know, what are your key platforms for how you produce and deliver your content, and how does that differ from the ones most English speakers would be familiar with?
Yeah, so there's this huge barriers, right? Most of the platforms used in the West are not used there, and the platforms used there are not used here. There are some equivalents. So, for example, there is a platform called Bilibili in China, which is pretty much like YouTube, but it's quite a new thing. It was not even used when I was living there. between 2015, 2019, but now it's becoming huge. The biggest platforms in China are short videos. So it's what we know now as TikTok. 1 minute, 2 minute videos. They have many of these platforms there, and that these platforms are the ones I'm most familiar with and where I produce most of my content. So in a way, you know, if you have used TikTok, that's pretty much what I do in China, short videos, short content focused on English.
And how does that work in terms of, because you have, if it's a short video, you've got a limited amount of time that you want to do. So how does that work in terms of your focus and also in terms of what you produce for people and how you do that in terms of how the software is different? Because I think Douyin has different functionality to TikTok, even though they're owned by the same company, right?
Yeah, they're owned by the same company, and they are pretty much they're the same thing. Like it's the same platform, it just has different names, and it, the content doesn't have any interaction. So if you produce a video on TikTok, you cannot see it on Douyin. If you produce a video on Douyin, you cannot see it on TikTok. Mm-hmm. But the platform looks exactly the same, and I believe that the algorithms are probably the same as well. It's all about viral videos, about viral content, and in my case, I'm producing teaching videos. What I have to bring in most of them is this thing of like going straight to the point. So instead of doing the thing like, hi guys, today we're going to have a lesson. I'm going to be teaching you the meaning of this expression. The meaning is blah, blah, blah. You just go straight to the point, right? You say the name of the expression, what it means, two examples, and that's the video, right? And trying to bring catchy things, right? So most common mistakes by Chinese students. That's something that, you know, people want to know. They want to watch. It's a minute, 2 minutes. They go to the next video, and that's how it goes.
And how many followers do you have? Which platforms apart from Douyin do you use? And how many people are watching your videos and are going through to sign up to your, because you deliver group classes, right, as well. So how wide is your reach on these platforms?
So I operate now in four different platforms. Douyin is one of them. Then Kuai Show, that is known as Kuai in the West. Mm-hmm. And then Youdao Cidian, that's a very interesting platform. It's a dictionary. So it's basically an online dictionary. And they decided to get into this short video thing. And so it's basically an online dictionary with short videos. So in between like these platforms, I have like in all platforms, I have about 1,700,000 fans, something around that.
Well, okay, that's considerable. I mean, like China's a big country, but 1 million is a pretty decent number even in China. So, I mean, where does that put you in terms of, you know, other people? I guess on TikTok and with Douyin and things like that, you'll get people with tens of millions, if even 100 millions of followers. But in terms of, you know, the English teaching world on these platforms, where does that?
I'm one of the top teachers, you know, foreign teachers in these platforms, definitely. I'm not sure, like, there's no official ranking for that, but maybe between top five, top 10, something like that.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, if you're looking for this type of content, you're probably one of the guys and girls that they're going to come across then.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. And so what do you put that success down to? Would you say you've got a bit of a first mover advantage, or do you try and, you know, put particular content? Have you kind of overtaken people, or are you always kind of been up there since, because the platforms are only a few years old, aren't they?
Yeah. So I started doing this in 2020. By 2018 or 17, that was an interesting moment where any foreigner doing anything could get a lot of exposition. Mm-hmm. This started changing in 2019. It's basically what happens with like algorithms with these platforms. In the beginning, it is easier, and then it starts becoming harder. So when I started 2019, it was already not so easy. You had to produce meaningful content. And 2020, the same thing. In my case, what I think allowed this to grow quickly was, I think that two main factors. One is a lot of experience with the public I wanted to reach. So I had been dealing with Chinese customers wanting to learn English for some time, a lot of experience with, I'm fluent in four languages and had been working, coordinating. I had trained hundreds of teachers on how to deliver better lessons. So I had good knowledge about this. And I think the other part of the equation was that it's not easy to get into this market, right? So even for, you know, try to download Douyin on your phone.
I can't. I literally can't. I've tried.
So you're going to face a few of these problems. And you know, if you've lived in China for a few years, if you can speak Chinese, they become a bit easier. Mm-hmm. Still not easy. There are many, many challenges that took, for example, like registering an official account. You can register an account without much trouble, but making it official took me a huge amount of time, many months of a lot of like brain power and thinking and talking to different people and figuring mm-hmm. these things out. So in the end, it's like the barrier to enter the market is quite big. And when you make it, when you get in there, it, you know, brings you an advantage. It's kind of like the blue ocean strategy applied.
Yeah. And tell me a little bit more about those obstacles, because obviously Douyin is not available outside of China. It's TikTok outside of China, which, as you said, is same, but different in terms of the app, same sort of idea, but a different app. But in terms of, they often make it, I've heard they've made it pretty hard for, you know, people based overseas to do things like live stream and short video in China because of, you know, it's more difficult to control, I believe. So what have been the barriers that have been put in your way from just registering, which I guess if you tried to do this on TikTok, you could have done it very easily. Or if you're a Chinese person in China, you could have done this very easily. So what are the barriers have been in your way and how have you overcome them?
Sure. So I think the first barrier is this kind of like a language barrier. So understanding the app, most people, like when you open it, you cannot understand anything of it. So that's the first thing. But that was not, for me, it was not a big challenge because I was already familiar with the language. For me, what was quite challenging was to create products. So there are many limitations in China for entrepreneurs to produce stuff and to bring stuff, even though it has been opening the country more. So it is possible, for example, for a foreigner now to establish a business in China without a Chinese partner. That wasn't possible a few years ago. It is now. But to do this kind of thing takes some effort. And it's the kind of thing you're like, okay, I'm going to do that then. And then you establish a business there. And then you figure out that because your business is related to social media, there are some specific limitations that don't allow you to open your store of a product. And so you try to find this information, but it's just not available. Like, not a lot of foreigners have worked with social media teaching and made the mistakes to learn what's the right way. So I had to make many, many of these mistakes to figure out like how to open a store, how to a Douyin store in this case, mm-hmm. right? And in the end, one of the conclusions is that if you want to do something on a small scale, you can do yourself. There will be many limitations, but for a small scale, that's possible. But if you really want to operate in a larger scale, it's going to be almost impossible to do it without a Chinese ally. And that was one of the challenges, also like finding someone reliable that I could trust and work together with to develop the business.
Brilliant. And talk to me about your, because I guess, you know, like, you know, 1 million followers is great. I wouldn't mind that, but you probably want to find a way that you can actually make a living out of that. So what's your, you know, current strategy for monetization and where do you want to take this in the coming months and years?
Since starting the channel, my goal has always been to teach English in a better, more efficient way, right? So to produce a course that can be sold to many students at the same time. Not one-on-one, not 1-to-6, but like big classrooms, info products. So that was my goal since the beginning, and that's what I started doing right now. It's like right now, I mean, for the past few months. And actually, that's where like, probably 70% of my effort and work goes into right now. So I'm bringing all my knowledge, breaking down all my systems for language learning, at the same time studying some of the best courses in the world, the best methods, guys who can speak like 25 mm-hmm. languages, how do they do that? And bringing all of that to China. And that's, I believe that's extremely valuable there because most of the way Chinese people learn languages right now, it's still very inefficient or very old methods of, you know, you want to learn a word, you get a list of like 50 words and you write each one of them 20 times so that you can memorize them. They end up with super stressed. They forget most of what they learn, and they get frustrated because they're mm-hmm. learning English for like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. They've put so many hours, but they don't see the results. And that's a problem I want to solve.
Yeah. And so you already have courses and things like that. And is that the main way you go about it? Then you put out the content, you get followers. Of course, a lot of people would just watch that for free for education or entertainment. But is your idea to then upsell people to your kind of, it's almost like what mass online learning campaigns or whatever. I can't remember what the acronym was. But like a online talk courses.
Exactly, precisely. So producing free content like every day, launching videos and bringing people in, offering them real value for free, but then offering a chance of, okay, so do you like this content and do you want to learn it more systematically? Do you want me to really help you to get you from your current level to a fluent level? I have this course that you can join.
So for a number of years, I mean, decades even, there have been many, many people from overseas going to China to teach English. There's probably, who knows how many thousands of people in China doing that at the moment, but not many people doing what you're doing. So do you think, is this something that more and more people are trying to do, go from, you know, the sort of traditional classroom teaching or one-to-one tutoring to go online? Is there, I imagine, like everything, especially in 2020, went online. So is this something that a lot of other people are doing, and how many people? What's the competition like?
Yeah, I think that more people are doing this, but I don't see like a massive rush to this market or anything like that. Maybe because of the barriers, because of all these challenges. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, just as with, you know, any sort of social media, you really have, it takes some kind of entrepreneurial effort, right? It's different from getting a job where you just, you know, send your curriculum to some people. And most teachers that went to China, they kind of had this experience where it was really, really easy to get a job. And then it was really easy to make a very decent amount of money. And so shifting that mentality from something that always comes easy and you know, you could just pick your job, you could go to any city anywhere and make good money. So shifting that mentality to, okay, so now I really need to produce free content for a few months to see if I do well and if things go well, so I have an opportunity to grow the channel. And then think about how can I monetize that, right? If you could still go to the way of like finding students for one-on-one lessons, or you could try to make something bigger, and the bigger your imagination there, the tougher it is, and the more Chinese bureaucracy and challenges you're going to face. So definitely there are more and more people trying that, but I still think there's quite a challenge there, and I don't see like a massive amount of people going for this route.
Yeah, interesting. I think there's, as you say, like it's quite, I mean, pretty much anybody can get a job teaching English in China, and you can be absolutely awful at it, like I was on the Saturday job that I did. And there's a big difference with, you know, as any mug like myself can teach English and earn like much better money than they would for a Saturday job back here. But actually to take that to the next level and be either a good English teacher or even better, like a business person in the business of teaching English. Now that's a jump right there, especially with all the barriers that you have in China. And in terms of, you know, that on Douyin and these other platforms, I imagine there must be, you know, other foreigners who are well followed, not just in English teaching, but just generally, I mean, other influencers who are from overseas. There's a section of Chinese society who just find something that is done by a foreigner to be innately more funny than something done by anybody else, which is strange. But anyway, that has a limited appeal over a long term. But yeah, what are some of the other kind of well-known in different categories of foreign influences and KOLs that you're aware of in China?
Yeah. So first, I think that this phase of like, you know, anything that a foreigner does will be more interesting than what a Chinese person does. I think this phase has pretty much passed. So
good. I'm very happy to hear that.
When I see like the channels of like other foreigners that are big, like they are actually producing very interesting content, either like things that are really culturally interesting or really funny. They're making jokes. Lots of people that have had experience living in China for a few years, they go back and they do videos of like kind of applying China's culture back home and how their families feel that that's weird and strange. It's interesting, actually interesting content. I see lots of people doing this. So focusing on funny things related in different ways to culture. That's quite common. Mm-hmm. For English learning, I don't see some producers on different languages teaching French, teaching Italian, but not many. I'd say like 99% would be still focused on English. And let me see. Yeah, I think I can't really think about many different other fields. It's basically funny, cultural, lifestyle, and language. That's what I see the most.
I guess that's kind of the easiest way in, isn't it? Because, you know, the kind of culture thing is something that a lot of Chinese people are interested in how foreigners see their culture. It's something that you know, you'll get asked a lot, what do you think of China and things like that? A keen interest in that. And I guess for many foreigners going to China, you realize like how similar the cultures are within, say, Europe or wherever you're, or Latin America, wherever you're from. So when you get out to somewhere like China, which is so different, so it's kind of good material to work with there. And what about like where next for you then? So currently you've got, you know, a million fans, but I guess success can come quickly, but it can go even quicker. So what are your plans for what you do next in terms of building on this and creating a sustainable business over the long term?
Yeah. So my passion is really for related to this area of learning. And right now, like for the coming few years, I see that there's still like a big opportunity in this market, and I really want to put all my effort into this. My goal is really to create the best online course for learning languages in China. So basically, anyone starting with English, but then going also to other languages. So if you're a person, you want to learn English, what's the best way online to go to do this? And my goal is for it to be this course that we're working on. Now, my passion is really this thing of learning and applied to entrepreneurship. So I feel lucky to be in China, where there's so much happening in terms of like new technology coming, new things coming. I'm looking at spatial reality, which will be huge 2 years from now. So and I think there's a chance that technology will kind of reduce the importance of language learning as we have more AI and machines that can do automatic translation and all that. There's a chance that 5 years from now, 6 years from now, I don't know, it will not be as important as it is today. And when this happens, I just want to shift to other things related to learning, related to helping people to achieve their potentials, learn what they have to do, especially in this world now where things change so fast. You cannot just stick with what you learned back in university. You have to be learning new skills all the time.
Brilliant. And so for the lucky people with Douyin and access to Chinese social media, how can they check out what you're doing? And for those of us who don't, are there any ways that we can see what you're up to?
Yeah, so you can, well, my name there's Andre. So it's if you just search on any of these engines for my name, it's going to be one of the first channels to show up. In the West, what we can do is there's one of the platforms called RED, R-E-D in Chinese is Xiaohongshu. It can be downloaded from any app store here, so you don't need to do anything to get it. It can also be found over there.
Brilliant. Okay. And for anybody who wants to follow in your footsteps and get a million fans in China for whatever it is that they're doing, what would be your advice?
Yeah. thinking, because like the first thing that comes to my mind is speak great Chinese, but that takes like 4 years.
Well, maybe there's you know, if we two tracks here, maybe one we assume for some people do speak great Chinese, looking for a way to apply it, and then maybe for people who don't speak great Chinese, if well, I guess that learn Chinese would be the advice for those people. But what about for those people who have or are on their way there?
Yeah, I think that setting a goal of like what you want to get. So for these things, it really takes this entrepreneurial mindset, and it takes persistence sometimes. When I was starting this thing in the beginning, I would tell myself, this is impossible. I'm not going to do it. And then, oh, come on, it might be. And then, you know, I would just keep going. And I think that persistence in this sense is very important. So it's quite possible that you're going to have to produce a video like every single day. And in the beginning, you're afraid of like, I was really afraid of like, you know, recording myself and putting your face out there, possibly being criticized. And the best advice I heard at the time was that frequency is better than quality, especially in the beginning. If you do 30 videos in 1 month, and these are quick videos, right? I'm not talking about a YouTube 20 minutes. It's not that. But like, if you do 30 videos in a certain period of time, your quality will improve. If you do like 4 videos and you're trying to do them amazing, you will lose. The guy that did 30 videos, his quality will be better because he did more, he made more mistakes, he learned more from the interactions, and now he has a better video. And that was the best advice I got at the time. So I just started producing, and the first videos were bad, but after 10 videos, 12, 15, they started getting better. And by the mark of 20, maybe I was already getting really good feedback and people are really enjoying the content.
Learn great Chinese, have that entrepreneurial growth mindset, be consistent and persistent. That's the 3 steps I'm getting there.
Yeah. Make mistakes, just go there, do it, and improve along the way.
Brilliant. Well, thanks a lot for your time, Andre.